iTorah. Welcome to the iTorah community. Welcome to the Zoom community. One more setup and then we'll start. Okay. So Erev Shabbat Rabotai, and it's the time to fulfill a wonderful custom that we started to try to delve into the weekly Haftarah, something that I must say, at least for myself, I have neglected over the years. And now, Baruch Hashem, that we have a little more time, we're able to learn it. So we have a double header this week, Haftarat Behar Bechukotai. The Haftarah we read is of the second Parashah Bechukotai. The Haftarah comes from the prophet Yirmiyah, chapter 16. And it's Pesukim Yutet. Not the way it works. Yeah, Yutet. And then we go to, well, then you have actually Perek Yud Zayin and Pasuk Yud Dalet. Okay, a little tricky on the way they're giving us the coordinates here. But it's Yirmiyah Tet Zayin. Okay, the first thing we have to establish is the connection. What is the connection between the Haftarah and the Parashah? That's the main thing you always have to settle right from the get-go. In this case, again, it's very easy. The Parashah Bechukotai primarily talks about the Kelalot, Lo Aninu Velo Alechem, the curses that God promises to bring on the Jewish people if they do not fulfill his word. And this Haftarah talks about, again, some of those kelalot that actually came true, and God promising to bring his anger against the Jewish people as a result of their attachment to Avodah Zarah. It's hard for us to understand how people had such a yitzhara for Avodah Zarah. I mean, you want to tell me a guy has a yitzhara for to eat a cheeseburger? Okay, a guy, he can't control himself. A guy's yitzhara to, I don't know, Lo alinu v'lo alechem to mechalel Shabbat. He wants to get out. He can't control. But a yitzhara to avodah zarah, it sounds so far-fetched to us. Why would a person take a synthetic creation of his own hands and then turn it into a god? But however you can explain it, it seems that the avodah zarah yitzhara was very strong in those days. We don't have that yitzhara anymore today, Baruch Hashem. The rabbis actually prayed to get rid of it. It was so strong that the rabbis had to pray that this yetzirah just... So, of course, other things got replaced. It was replaced with other types of sins. But when you're going to read the Haftarah, you'll see the attraction that they had to the Avodah Zarah. And the prophet Yirmiyah, who lived in the times of the first Beit HaMikdash, and he's the one that prophesizes the destruction. And he's going to talk about also how the Jewish people did not keep the laws of Shemitah, which is also in the Parashah. That the Torah tells you must keep the laws of Shemitah. That's in the Parashat Behar. And in Bechukotai it says that all those years they didn't keep Shemitah, they're going to become exiled. And they're going to be working for foreign countries. They'll work on their lands instead of working on their own land. So that's basically the connection. Tokacha and Tokacha. Also another theme in the Parashah, Haftarah is very strong, is the subject of bitachon, which we'll learn about now. Fortunate is the person that puts his faith in God. And we talk about cursed is the man that puts his faith in human beings. So that's basically the theme of the Haftarah. The prophet Yirmiyah begins by turning to God. Yirmiyah himself is shocked. And he's telling the Boreh, how could it be, you know, that these people are, you know, doing what they're doing? Yirmiyah cannot believe how low the Jewish people have fallen in his time. And he starts off, and he says, Hashem Uzi Ma'uzi. God is my rock. Uzi Ma'uzi. God is my I lean on him. He's my crutch. Umnusi biyom sara. In a time of trouble, I run to him. Umnusi. I run to him during times of trouble, and I put my faith in him. Elecha goyim yavo'u me'afse aris. The Navi predicts that when Mashiach comes, and this is what we learned during the week, all the goyim from all over the world are going to come v'yomeru, and they're going to admit, ach sheker nahalu avotenu. They are going to say that we've inherited deceit and lie from our fathers. Hevel ve'en bam mu'il. Nothingness that has no value and no benefit. Which means the prophet is saying, even the goyim one day are going to come along when Mashiach comes, and they're going to say, this avodah zarah that we worship, that we inherited this custom from our fathers, because that minhag avotehem bidehem, this minhag of avodah zarah, they're going to come along and say, ach sheker, it's all sheker, it's all a lie. The goyim are going to say that. We say this every day in Alinu L'Shabeyah. Yakiru v'yed'u kol yoshvet tevel, ki lecha techra kol berech, tishaba kol lashon, lefanecha adonai yudonu yikra'u v'yipolu, ולכבוד שמך יקר יתנו ויקבלו כולם את מלכותיך. והאלילים קרות שקלטון. But that's of course in the future, in the world of לתקן עולם במלכות שדאי. So the prophet is saying, there's going to come a time that the goyim are going to denounce and renounce their avodah zarah, and they're going to say it's shaker. Well, obviously when God reveals his holy name Yud Kei Vav Kei to the world, like we learn, transparency, finish, it's an x-ray machine. Everything that they did is going to become so clear to them that it was misguided, hevel, sheker, enbo mu'il, no benefit. And the prophet comes along and then he says, and if the goyim are going to realize it, so then how could the Jewish people fall into such a yetzer hara, avodah zarah? And he says one of the classic lines coming up. Hayaseh lo adam Elohim, vehema. Lo Elohim. Can a man make a God for himself when he himself is not God? Which means a person cannot create something more than he is. So if he is not a God, so how can he manufacture a God? You cannot put in something more than yourself. So the prophet says, Hayaseh lo Adam Elohim. Is it possible that a human can manufacture an Elohim? Vehema, while they themselves, lo Elohim. Rabbi Moshe David Wali, in his Perush, he says beautiful language on this. He writes, Ve'imken, Ech efshar shi'yase lo Elohim, ki en mi shi'yukhal latet lezulato mima she'en lo. You cannot give to somebody else or to something else something you don't have. Ve'im b'nei Adam en lahem elahut. If a person is not a God, ech efshar shi'yitinu koach ha'elakut lezulatam. How could they give a power of godliness to something else? So that's part of the, you know, how ridiculous. And the prophet is frustrated. The prophet is saying, what are they thinking? Labdil, today you have, you know, the same craziness. He goes to the Far East and have the Buddha. And it's, you know, whatever it is, an image of, you know, that Avodah Zarah. And if you look on the bottom of the Buddha, what does it say? Made in China. So it was made in a factory. So how in the world can a factory worker who's not God himself all of a sudden make a figurine and all of a sudden that becomes God? Could he put something in that figurine that he himself does not have? That's the prophet's frustration. You know, yes, I don't understand it. Hayaseh lo Adam Elohim, vehema lo Elohim. And then he goes on to say, the next pasuk. Well, actually, God answers the prophet. That's it. That's the prophet talking in the first two pasukim. Now God answers. Lachen. Behold, because the Jewish people have not made teshuvah, hineni modi'am bapa'am azot, I am giving them notice this time, Odi'em et yadi ve'et kiburati. They're going to see my hand, and they're going to see my strength and power when I bring upon them the tragedy. V'yadi'u ki shemi Adonai. The revelation of Yud Kei Vav Kei will become known to them. But unfortunately, it's going to come through Yisurin and through punishment. Bore Olam is very angry. And then the prophet, on the God continues. He tells the prophet, Hatat Yehuda, this sin of the Jewish people, Yehuda, Ba'avodah Zarah, that they're worshipping Avodah Zarah, it's etched in their bodies already. It's etched in their behavior. You know, sometimes you have a practice, but it's not second nature to you. It's not, it doesn't become part of you. Borei Olam says they become so attached to Avodah Zarah. Ketuva be'et barzel. You take an et. It is a pen. Barzel is an iron pen. Not with ink. You ever take the pen that's sharp and you put it on the wood and you etch it in the wood and it makes a mark. Finish. That mark doesn't go. You can't erase that. So he says, this sin of Avodah Zarah, it's etched into their bodies, into their psyche, like taking an et barzel, an iron pen. B'tziporin shamir. Tziporin is a kulmus. Kulmus is like a quill that the Sofrim used to write. But it's also made out of barzel, and it's very, very sharp. Harusha aluach libam. The sin is etched on their heart. And they don't want to forget. They don't want to forget the Avodah Zarah. When something is etched, you don't forget it. They don't want to forget their foreign gods. Ulkarnot mizbechotam. And their sin has been etched on the corners of the mizbeach. It seems they used to build mizbeachs, altars, for Avodah Zarah. So their sin is etched on the corners of the mizbeach that they worship for Avodah Zarah. And then Borei Olam says, Kizkor b'nehem. He says, just like a person remembers his children, you always think about your children. Kizkor b'nehem. If you're a parent, you know what that means. You're always thinking about your children. Kizkor b'nehem. Just like they have a constant memory of their children, because they love their children. Mizbechotam be'asherehem al etzra anan v'al givaot ha'givot. They remember with the same love and affection the mizbechot, the altars, and the asherah, the trees that they worshipped. Next to etzra anan, next to the fresh trees, v'al givaot ha'givot, and the mountains. They have the same love for the Avodah Zarah like they have for their own children. Borei Olam is trying to show, look how close the Avodah Zarah became. It's etched. There's a love for it. There's a constant memory. As a result of it, we now read about the punishment that's going to come to the sinners. Harari. That's Am Yisrael, that's worshipping Avodah Zarah. Harari literally means from the Har, the mountains. Harari, those that are worshipping the Avodah Zarah on the mountains. Basadeh helecha lechol otzrotecha labaz eten. In the field of war, the enemies are going to come. Helecha, they're going to take all your money. Bechol otzrotecha, and all of your treasures, labaz. Labaz is going to be pillaged, and it's going to be taken, looted by the enemies. Eten. Why? Bamotecha mechatat bechol givulecha. Because of the sacrifices and the altars that you built in sin, mechatat b'avodah zarah, in all of your bechol givulecha, and all of your borders. Hacham Baruch Alav Shalom would always quote this pasuk. One of the rabbi's students was a fellow by the name of Joe Harari. They call him Joe Ambulance, for the guys who know him. He's a Sadiq. And Chacham Baruch had great respect for Mr. Harari. May him be well. And his last name is Harari. Chacham Baruch, whenever he would see him, he would say, Harari Basadeh. You know, that's the Harari. But of course, no connection to this Pasuk and to Mr. Harari, obviously. This Pasuk was talking about the Jews that worshipped Avodah Zarah. The rabbi was just saying Harari because you found his name in the Pasuk. That was one of Chacham Baruch's great things. Anytime he would see you, he would quote a Pasuk in the Navi that was connected to your name. When he would see me, he would say the Pasuk in the end of Devarim. V'karner re'em karnav. Karner re'em, re'em, rashet evot, Rabbi Eliyahu Mansur. Or he would say, ki'im labina tikra. That's a Pasuk in Mishle. Ki'im, im rashet evot, Eliyahu Mansur. Ki'im labina tikra. Well, that was a good memories. But you have to know the Tanakh, you know, fluently in order to right away snap it out when you come across somebody suddenly in the street. Anyway, so God says, as a result of this, they're going to have troubles. And as a result, they didn't keep the mitzvah of Shemitah, v'shamatta. The land is going to go fallow against your will. Ubecha, there's going to be a revenge against you. Minahalatcha asher natati licha. From the land, you're going to be kicked out of the land. Va'abaticha et oybecha. You're going to work for your enemies. Be'eretz asher lo yadata. In a foreign land. And then God promises, ki esh kedachtem be'api. You've ignited the fire of my anger. Ad olam tukad. Wow, ad olam. Ad olam. So we hope that means for a long time, but doesn't mean forever. But you have to remember, Rabotai, this is after the prophets warned them and rebuked them and told them all the bad things that are going to come if they don't stop, but they couldn't put themselves away from Avodah Zarah. Every generation, it seems, had their, you know, had their issues and had their rabbis coming and rebuking. Nothing changes, you know. Today we have other things. The rabbis get up and they scream, and the people, they listen most of the time. Sometimes they don't. But that's, you know, it's not an easy thing. That's Klal Yisrael. Oh, and the pasuk continues, Ko Amar Hashem, Arura Gever, Asher Yiftach Ba'adam. Cursed is the man that puts his faith in man. V'sam Basar Zero'o. And he puts his energy in Zero'o. V'sam Basar. He puts his faith in Basar, in humans, flesh, and blood. Zero'o, in order to lean on and to rely on, reliance. U'min Adonai Yasud Libo. And he turns himself away from God. Now we're talking about the person that does not have bitachon. He trusts and puts all his faith in everything else. He puts his faith in his business. He puts his faith in government. He puts his faith in the army. He puts his faith in the rich man, in his friends. And he does not have any faith in God. So the pasuk says arur. Now there's two ways of learning it. Arur doesn't only mean he will be cursed, but arur means he is cursed. Because once you put your faith in something else, Borei Olam says, fine. You put your faith in your money, I'm out. Let's see how far your money will get you. Finished. You want me to watch you, protect you? You have to. It's a two-way street. You don't care for my protection and for my maaseh, for my shield. No problem. God says, let's see how far the money. The famous story. Rav Chaim Weintraub, Alav Shalom, used to tell us this story. That the guy that said once, he got up in a meeting, very wealthy guy, and he says, listen, I have so much money that one thing I could tell you people today, I will never die of starvation. That's what he said. A few weeks later, he went missing. They don't know where he is. Sure enough, they found that he got locked in his vault. Dead. Cause of death? Dehydration, starvation. Borei Olam says, you trust your money? Go, let's see how far your money is going to get you. Go eat your money. Go see if it can protect you. That's the key. Arur, he's cursed. Once a person starts to rely on people, the hashkaha, like the Shara Betahon writes, the Benu Bachya, God will leave you in the hands of that item or of that entity that you put your faith in. And now the Nabi tells us, Vehaya, and it will be this person that puts his faith in others, Ke'ar'ar ba'arava. Ar'ar is like a tree that's growing in the desert. V'lo yir'eh ki yavotov. He will not benefit when the good comes. Because when the rain comes to the world, it doesn't come to the desert. The desert is dry. So it's not going to benefit from the beracha. And the pasuk says, V'shachan haredim b'midbar. V'shachan haredim b'midbar means, and it's going to dry up from the heat of the desert without any moisture. Because it's alone there. Be'eres melecha, on a salty land that's not fertile. Ve'lo teshev. It's not going to be settled. Be'eres melecha, ve'lo teshev, that's not civilized. And therefore, it's going to end up wilting away. And that's what happens to the person that puts his faith in man. However, the pasuk then says, Baruch ha-geber asher yiptach ba'Adonai. Fortunate or blessed is the man that puts his faith in God. V'haya Adonai miftacho. Now the reason why it says it twice, Baruch ha-geber asher yiptach ba'Adonai, V'haya Adonai miftacho, two explanations. One explanation is this this mirror. If you put your faith in God, then God will be for you a source of faith. Baruch HaGeber Sheyiptach Ba'Adonai, what else? You trust me? Don't worry, I'll come through for you. In the difficult times, V'haya Adonai Miptacho, what else? You can rely on me. If a son tells his father, Daddy, I need you, I'm relying on you. Oh, son, you're relying on me, you need me? I'll be there for you, don't worry about it. But if the kid tells his father, I don't need you, you don't help me anyway, the father says, do me a favor, you're on your own. Now the kid calls, I'm in trouble. You said you don't need me. I'm saying, now you call me? Go to your money. Go to your friend. Baruch, the second explanation is, Moshe David Wali says this, that Baruch HaGeber Asher Yiptach BaHashem, there's some people that have bitachon in Hashem, but they also have bitachon in something else. That's most of us. Of course, you ask a guy every other word, Baruch Hashem, Bezat Hashem, Baruch Hashem. But we trust the bank account, we trust the stock market a little, we trust, you know, we have certain things that we are relying on. Businesses, of course. So the Pasuk is saying, what type of guy are we talking, who's the real blessed guy? Baruch HaGeber Asher Yiptach BaHashem, V'haya Hashem Miftacho, solely. There's no other, he doesn't trust anything else. His Bitachon is, that's why he repeats it. Because most people are Baruch HaGeber Asher Yiptach BaHashem. But it's Yiftach BaHashem plus. This Sadiq is talking about V'haya Hashem Miftacho exclusively. Oh, so the Pasuk says, what happens with this person? Oh, V'haya Ke'et Shatul Al Mayim. The one that has faith in God, he's like a tree that's planted next to the wellspring. Not like the tree in the desert that ends up wilting up. The one that has bitachon, he's like a tree sitting on water. Ve'al yubal yishalach shel ashav, and its roots underground start spreading very, very far, close to the water. Ve'lo yir'eh ki yavohom, when the hot days come, the tree doesn't feel it because it has so much water. It cools it off. It'll never dry out. Ve'ya aleu ra'anan, and its leaves are always fresh. U'b'shnat batzoret. And even when there's a batzor, where there's a drought, where there's no rain, lo yidag. You know what I'm going to underline? Like I like to underline key words. Lo yidag. The tree does not have any worries because underneath the ground there's fresh water there. If you have a fresh wellspring, you don't care if it doesn't rain. There's alternate. Velo yamish me'asot peri. And it'll always produce fruit. This pasuk over here is the key that's telling us the benefit of bitachon. And we can say it in two words that the Navi says, Lo yid'ag. That's the whole key, Rabotai. No worries. You want to talk in our language? No pressure, no stress. You want to talk in our language? No anxiety. Lo yid'ag. If you ever stuck around a real Baal Bitahon, they have no worries. They have total reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I was going to handle it, but I was going to take care of it, everything will be okay. Lo yid'ag. They let God do the worrying for them because they know they have no control anyway. So why should I worry on something that I can't control the outcome either way? So therefore they say, Borei Olam runs the world, and whatever he does, he'll do for the best. Rabbi Pam, in his Pirush on the Haftarah, he says, many people suffer from their inability to accept matters or situations that are out of their control. This often leads to explosions of anger, resentment, and frustration. Nothing is gained by becoming upset over such circumstances. A person who truly trusts in Hashem realizes that the master planner is running his life solely for his ultimate benefit. If the person realizes that, there is no room for anger and frustration about the powerlessness to change it. And then he says something beautiful. He says, if you want to look at the main characteristic of Gedolei Yisrael, the great rabbis, you have to know, Rabotai, Gedolei Yisrael, on a daily basis, are inundated with the problems of Klal Yisrael. What do you think Gedolim do? People don't call the Gedolim, Rabbi, please, I just made $20 million in the stock market. They don't call the Gadol for that. They call the Gadol, God forbid, when there's a crisis, when there's trouble, when they need. And the Gedolim hear these crises of Klal Yisrael all day long. But if you look at the way they hear the crises, they're calm. They make decisions, you know, with deliberation. They don't get flustered. The Tzaddikim, they're able to live in a very turbulent life, but with what we call menuchat nefesh. Menuchat nefesh means tranquility. Lo yidag, lo yidag. That's the key. I once heard, if you take the word de'aga, which is worries, dalid, aleph, gimal, he. Well, de'aga has actually the first few letters of the Hebrew alphabet. There's an aleph there. De'aga is an aleph. There's a gimal, there's a dalet, and there's a heh. There's only one letter missing in the word de'aga, and that's a bet. And the bet stands for bitachon. When a person is missing the bet of bitachon, bingo, he's left with the remaining letters of de'aga. And that's what the Rebbe is telling you. You put your faith in God, lo yid'ag. And now, Borei Olam says, and this is a very, very big key. There's only one entity that knows who has bitachon and who doesn't. Bitachon is not something you wear on your face, and it's not something that you could speak. You know, a lot of people speak bitachon language. Oh, Yishtabach Hashem, oh, Baruch Hashem, Be'ezat Hashem, every 2 seconds, you know, they're talking like that. But God knows what's really in the person's heart. Does he go to sleep at night afraid? Does he go to sleep nervous? Is inside of him worried, filled with anxiety? So although on the outside he might portray himself as a big Baal Bitachon, but the Navi comes along and says, Akov halev mikol. The heart is the most crooked and the most bent, crooked of all the limbs, the anushu, and sometimes it gets sick with all bad thoughts. Mi yida'enu. Who knows what's in a person's heart? Who knows what the sickness in a person's heart is? Again, outside, if you ask a guy in the street, what do you think of Mr. Stone? Oh, what a Baal Bitachon. This guy's unbelievable. Sadiq. Borei Olam says, they don't know what's inside of his heart. However, God says, Ani Adonai choker lev. I know what's in the heart. God has the x-ray. Bochen kelayot. I know it's in his insides. Velatet la'ish kedrachav uchfri ma'alalav. To reward the tzaddik that really deserves. Now this is a very, very key pasuk. Rabbi Moshe David Wali in his Perushia says, this pasuk actually is discussing the age-old question of Sadiq Vera'lo. You know, sometimes, Lo Aleinu, we see Sadiqim that are very, very righteous, very pious, at least they look righteous, and we see that they have a difficult time. Now, this pasuk answers one possible answer to that dilemma. Now, we know the answer that's given to us is, listen, the tzaddik sometimes gets his punishment here, so in Olam Haba, it'll be, you know, it'll sail smoothly. That's the answer that we always accept. But the Rav Ovi explains like this. On this pasuk he writes, Zehu Zuhi Teshuvah Bechlal Le'inyan Sadiq Vera'lo. This pasuk explains the dilemma of Sadiq Vera'lo. He says, Ki lefi anir'eh, what it seems to us, Yes, Sadiqim abotchim b'Hashem b'tachlit b'tahon. It looks like there's certain Sadiqim that have perfect b'tahon. Ba'afal pichin, but still. Kol yemehem b'dohak u'b'tza'ar. But they live the whole life. Dohak, trouble, tza'ar, agony. And then you have the opposite, the sha'im that's successful. So he says, you know what it is? Ki b'nei adam enam yud'im ezu sadiq ve'ezu rasha'. Ezu boteach ve'ezu she'enu boteach. The guy who you think is really a tzaddik, I don't want to say this too loud, but Rabbi Moshe David Wali says from the prophet, he might not be a real tzaddik. He might look like a tzaddik on the outside, but you don't know what's in his heart. You don't know the inside. So therefore, when his answer to the question, tzaddik vera'lo, he's not a tzaddik. So it's not a question. Who told you he's a tzaddik? What do you mean? He has peot down to his belly button. The guy wears a hat. The guy sissit. The guy shakes an amidah. All these things that make a tzaddik a tzaddik. Goes to the mikveh every day. Very good. That's what you see. He does that in public. But what's in his heart? God says, I know what's in the guy's heart. So you think he's a tzaddik and therefore you're questioning me. Hey, tzaddik vera'lo. Akov alev. The heart is very tricky. The heart can be very crooked. And therefore, the pasuk says, "Akov alev mikol ve'enoshu miyidainu." Who could know what's really in a person's heart except for God Himself? And therefore, God says, "Ve'latet la'ish kedrakav ukfi ma'alav." I'm going to reward the person to what he really deserves. And then he goes on to say, on the next pasuk says, "Kore dagar." Kore dagar velo yeled. Ose osher velo b'mishpat b'chatsi yamav ya'azbennu u'b'harito yehye naval. What is this talking about? He says, don't be shocked if you see the Sha'im successful. Because we see that also. We see guys that are really the Sha'im. And in this case, no one can tell me that in their heart they're really tzaddikim. We see that they're the Sha'im. They're ba'al el Shabbat. They don't believe in God. They're troublemakers. They steal. They cheat. So you wonder, hey, I understand that tzaddik vera'lo, maybe he wasn't a tzaddik. But when you see rasha v'tovlo, he's a rasha. You can't tell me, well, maybe rasha's really a tzaddik. No. So he says, what's the pshat? Kore. So a kore is actually a type of a bird. Kore deger. Maze deger. He whistles, like a bird chirps. And then he gathers eggs that don't belong to him. Imagine this, a bird is sitting on eggs that are not his. Normally, what does a bird do? He hatches the egg and sits on it. And then a few weeks later, the chick hatches. And now he has a family. This bird over here doesn't produce anything of his own. He goes and he sits on somebody else's egg. And what happens? Velo yeled. He didn't born them. He didn't bore them. They're not his. What happens? When the chicks hatch, they look at the father. They say, you don't look like anything like us. So what happens to the chicks? They run away. They leave him. So to the Rasha, Oseh osher velo b'mishpat. If a person makes money in a deceitful way, velo b'mishpat, b'chatzi yamav yazbenu. By half his life, he'll lose all his money. U'b'charito, and in, at the end, yiyen naval. He's going to be, he'll be destroyed. Which means, just like this chicken that goes and takes something that doesn't belong to him, sits on the egg that's not his. Eventually, what happens? The chicks are going to leave him. When a person takes money that doesn't belong to him, that money is not going to stay by him. At the end, he'll be in Naval. He'll end up in Geinam. And Rabbi Moshe David Wali on this, he writes that even though you see Rasha Vetovlo, it's temporary. Rasha Vetovlo is only, you know, in this world. But at the end, Naval. At the end, he'll be in Gehinnom. And then the Navi comes along. You know, we don't want to end up on a bad note, Rabotai. This is a Tuchahot. Oh, boy, strong Tuchahot. You know, it's enough that we have to read the Tuchahot of Parashat Baruch Kotai, and the Navi doubles down in the Haftarah. Boom. All because of Avodah Zarah. So the prophet ends up and says, Kise chavod marom merishon mekom mikdashenu. There's going to come a time that there's going to be the revelation of the kise chavod marom merishon. The kise chavod that already was around from the beginning of creation. Mekom mikdashecha. That revelation is going to take place in Jerusalem when God is going to put his Shekhinah on the Beit HaMikdash. And obviously on his people as well. And when God brings the Shekhinah down to his people, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the Jewish people are going to put their hopes and anticipation in God. V'chol ozbecha, and those that leave God and put their faith in man, Yiboshu. Yiboshu means they'll be shamed. V'sureh, and those that do not listen to the words of the prophet, Ba'aris yikatevu. They will be written for a judgment to go down to Sheol Tachtit, to the lowest levels of Gehinam. Ki azevu mikor mayim hayim et Adonai. They left the source of a pure wellspring, God Himself. So the prophet is saying, Mikvei Yisrael Hashem. And Rabbi Moshe David Wali says something incredible. The simple explanation is that Bnei Yisrael, even during the difficult times, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, they put their faith in God. Mikveh means tikvatam, they put their hope in God. Like we learned in the Pirkei Avot. Listen to the Lashon that he says. Shesarich liyot hazak be'et hatzarot. When the going gets tough, lo yehilash, don't get weak. Ve'lo ye'ebad, don't lose your hope, hasb shalom. Ki hu talui b'shmo yidbarach. You have to put your faith in the name of God. Beautiful. Those that have kivui, that put their faith in God during the difficult times, in that reward for having kivui b'shat sara, they're going to get reward. But those that they have claims against God and they leave God, they're going to have busha at the end. You know why they're going to have busha? Because even the Goyim are going to come along and said, we had a fake God. So we're ashamed, but you had the real God. You should be doubly ashamed. You had the real God and you left him. Which means we were playing with counterfeit money. You had the real stuff and you threw it away. Okay, we did counterfeit. Big deal. It's bad enough. So his lashon is, Haya lachem Eloa kazeh. The Goyim are going to tell us, you had a God like this. Va'azavtem oto. You left them? Lehidabek b'shema elilim shem shekel, like we said, hevel em b'em mo'il. So that's the first explanation. Mikvei Yisrael Hashem. I saw once, I was at a wedding with one of the gedolim, Hasidish Rebbe's. And they say this story about the Tasha Rebbe, Alav Shalom. And I saw it also, one of the Rebbe's did this. Men dancing at the wedding. You have 10 guys dancing. The hatan is in the middle. They're dancing with him. And all of a sudden you see the rabbi, as he's making the circle, the hora as they call it, every couple of seconds he bends down. He bends down. There was nothing in his way. So the student said, Rebbe, what are you... And he said, I'm going into the mikveh. You're going to the mikveh? There's no mikveh here. He said, the pasuk says, mikveh Yisrael. There's a certain mikveh that's called the mikveh Yisrael. Whenever you have 10 Jews in a room together, 10 Jews in a room brings the Shekhinah down. And therefore, it kiddushah, that environment becomes very, very holy. Because mikveh Yisrael brings Hashem down. So I'm dipping in the mikveh. Every time I go around, I go into the mikveh, I'm dipping into the Jewish people. Can you imagine, Abotai, what does it mean in minyan? We don't appreciate it. When you have 10 Jews that come into a room, the Gemara says, Borei Olam precedes them. Because Borei Olam knows there's going to be a minyan at whatever time it is. So Borei Olam is waiting for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Magdim. He comes early. V'nichnas. The third explanation, says Rabbi Moshe David Wali, is that actually when Mashiach comes, we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, but we're going to all have the Tum'ah on us of the Galut. So it says, Borei Olam is going to take special waters, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, and he's going to purify us. And he's going to sprinkle all of the Jewish people that as a result of the Tum'at Ha'ares and Tum'at Ha'goyim, so we'll be able to reappear pure. And those people that left the pure wellspring of God, they're not going to get sprinkled. They'll be lost forever. And out of Botai, we get to the last pasuk of the Haftarah, which I think is a good siman for us. This is it. This is the pasuk we needed. We were waiting all these weeks for this pasuk, and we finally got to it. And I think it's a good siman. I hope so. Refa'eni Adonai ve'erafeh, hoshi'eni ve'evashe'a, ki tehillati ata. The prophet comes along, Yirmiyah. You know, Yirmiyah, he was bullied around, Yirmiyah, from the people. Yirmiyah doesn't give the sweet messages. He gives the fire and brimstone messages. The people didn't like Yirmiyah too much. And they would hit him, and they would, push him. And Yirmiyah says, Borei Olam, I'm loyal. I'm going to keep on giving you a word. But please, heal me. That I should be able to tolerate the bizyonot of the people, the makot of the people. But this is also a prayer. What does the prayer say? Refa'eni Hashem ve'erafe. It sounds like, cure me, God, and I will become cured. It's double language. It should say, Refa'eni Hashem. Maze Refa'eni Hashem ve'erafe. So I saw from Rav Hida in his Sefer Midbar Kedemot, he says a beautiful explanation. He says, it's based on Rav Chaim Vital. Rav Chaim Vital says, all disease begins in the soul. Once the soul is infirmed, the body starts to show symptoms. The symptoms on the outside are actually coming from something that's in the inside. In the olden days, they didn't go to doctors. But a person wasn't feeling well, you went to the Mekubal of the city. You went to the Arizal, and you told them, my shoulder's hurting. And he would tell you, you're talking after my Maharonim. He would tell you exactly why. Oh, I thought it was because of, I was golfing. No, it's not because you're golfing. The reason why your shoulder hurts is because you're talking after my Maharonim. And they would give them exactly the religious or the spiritual source of why these are, and they would fix the spiritual source, and then the physical symptoms would go away. We say in Birkat HaMazon, HaRahman Hu Yirpa'enu Refu'a Shelema, Refu'at HaNefesh U'Refu'at HaGuf. It's two things. We're praying to God, we want Refu'a Shelema, meaning complete, meaning first Refu'at HaNefesh. Once we fix the soul, automatically there's refuat haguf. Refuat haguf is a result, results in refuat hanefesh. And that's the way the Chidah learns. The Chidah learns this pasuk. Refa'eni Hashem, the spiritual cure. Ve'erafe is the goof. That once I get the spiritual cure for the malady of the soul, well, ve'erafe, then my body automatically will be healed. Now I'd like to say something else. This is based on the Benu Ari. How am I going to explain this to you? When God created the world, so the Arizal gives us a very detailed explanation of what happened. And the world was created with certain, on purpose, certain kelim broke, the vessels that were holding the great light. The kelim then were refixed and reorganized. The light was able to go into them. However, a lot of sparks of Kedusha fell into the lower worlds, and it is our job to try to lift those sparks that fell at the time of the Shevirah. Those sparks are called Rapah Nitzotzot. The 288 sparks that fell, and the tzaddikim are always trying to, you know, lift up the rapah. What's the benefit that Arizal says? If a person could lift up the rapah nitzotzot, it gives him a healing. It's like energy. The sickness comes because he's missing some of these nitzotzot that he needs to be healthy. So the tzaddik makes a tikkun, and he brings the rapah. That's why he says when you have the kavanah and the beracha v'refa'enu in the Amidah, if you look at the last words of the beracha, rofe, chole, amo, Yisrael. Look at the Rashi Tevot. Rofe, resh, 200. Rofe, chole, zachet, that's 8. That's 208. Rofe, chole, amo. Amo is 70, so that's 278. Yisrael is a yud, 288. He says, Yechaven keneged rapah nitzotzot. You mechaven, rofe, chode, amo, Yisrael. And as a result, you lift up the rapah, and that gives the person refuah. So Rav Chidah writes, that's why the prophet says, Refa'eni Hashem ve'erafe. If you take the word ve'erafe, how much is it equal? Well, 200, 280, 281, 282, 288. Ve'erafe. It's giving you the sod of the rapah nitzotzot that come up and cure a person. But I would like to tell you something that Rav Chidah writes, also how refuah works. Refuah works when chas v'shalom there's judgment on a person. We know that the judgments are called givurah. We don't want it to be givurah. We want it to be chesed. The numerical value of the word givurah is 216. Rayu, resh yud vav. Well, actually, if you look at the pasuk, refa'eni Adonai ve'erafe, it's rashi tevot resh yud vav, 216. The Navi is hinting to us that the sickness comes from the givurah. And the only way to get the givurah off is to sweeten it with the shem yud ke vav ke, which makes the mituk hadin. Last but not least, Rav Chidah says, when you look at the Torah talks about refuah as well. It talks about going to a doctor. We read in the pasuk, it says, Verapo yirape. Rapo yirape means you're allowed to go to the doctor. But he says, he quotes this from the Arizal, look at the letter peh. In the Torah, it has a dot in it. Verapo yirapeh. There's a dagesh in the peh. Look at this pasuk. Refa'eni Hashem ve'erafeh. There's no dot in the peh. What's the difference? Why when the Torah talks about refuah, there's a dagesh in the peh. Verapo yirapeh. And here when the Navi talks about it, it's without a dagesh. So he says, when it has a dagesh in it, dagesh means it's kasher, it's digusha, it's hazak. They call that hazak, peh. When a person goes and gets a human cure, it's kasher. When the human cures the person, it hurts sometimes. The doctor has to cut, the doctor has to make an incision, the doctor has to put the patient out. It's a refuah, but it's kasher. The human doctor is rapo yirape. It's a dagesh. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the refuah, it's soft. It's a peh refuah. Refa'eni Hashem ve'erafe. It's peh refuah. Borei Olam is rofe rahman v'ne'eman. Borei Olam can cure a person. All of a sudden, he goes back to the doctor. The doctor says, it's not here anymore. I don't know, you got better. What happened? I don't know, disappeared. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Hashem cured you. But doctor, if you would have done it, what would you have to do? Oh, we'd have to cut you up into a million pieces. But Baruch Hashem, God loves you. It just disappeared. It went away. You're all fine. Go home. And that's why the refuah from Hashem is sweet. It's rahman v'ne'eman. Last but not least, Rav Hida writes in his Midbar Kedemot, he says, a chidush shepirashti biyalduti. He said, this is a chidush that I said when I was a yelid. When he was a kid, as we would say. He says that any time a person gets a refuah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's permanent. You don't relapse. A refuah that comes from a human being, it can relapse. So we always pray, Borei Olam, you give the refuah. Borei Olam, he's not interested in another co-payment. He's not interested in another visit. He doesn't interested in selling you medicine. Borei Olam says, come to me once, I'll cure you. You're cured forever. Rav Hida says that's the same thing when it comes to a salvation. When the salvation happens through a human being, there's always another galut. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the salvation, it's permanent. Just think, Mitzrayim, it was Moshe. There was another galut to follow it. In Purim, it was Mordechai and Esther. There was another galut to follow it. However, what does the pasuk say? Yisrael nosha badonai teshuat olamim. That when Yisrael is going to be redeemed by God, then it's going to be teshuat olamim. Ladonai hayshua al amecha berchatecha selah. When the yeshua belongs to God, it's permanent and it's forever. And therefore, he explains the pasuk like this. Refa'eni Adonai ve'erafe. Dear God, cure me. Ve'erafe, meaning, and I know I will be cured. It's not coming back. That's the double language. Refa'eni Hashem. If the refuah comes from Hashem, ve'erafe. Finished. It's over. Hoshi'eni. And when you bring me to salvation, when Mashiach comes, ve'evashe'a. It's done. There's not going to be another galut to follow. And then the key is Rabotai. It's the last three words of the Haftarah. Ki tehillati ata. After a person gets a refuah shenema, the praise belongs to God. A lot of people, after they go through a hard time, they talk about how great the hospital was. Oh, and the nurses are so nice. And the doctor was so good. And we have to thank the pharmaceuticals. We're going to make a big donation to the pharmaceuticals for making this medicine and doing all the research. And we want to thank all the hospital staff and so on and so forth. No problem. For sure, you have to have Hakarat HaTov. No question about it. But the first Hakarat HaTov is Ki Tehillati. The praise belongs to God. Who gave the wisdom to the doctors? Who gave the wisdom to the pharmaceuticals? Who gave the Chokhmah, Borei Refuot? And therefore, when a person is sick, God forbid, in the eighth beracha of the Amidah, we say, Refa'enu Adonai v'nerafe, Hoshi'enu v'nevashia. It comes from this pasuk. This pasuk is the template of that beracha. And then what do we tell God? Ki tehillatenu ata. We promise, if you cure us, we're going to give you the praise. The praise will come to you. That's why when the person makes a se'udat hoda'ah, which is very appropriate when a person recovers from, God forbid, an illness, The first thing he does, he makes Birkat HaGomel. HaGomel, Hayavim, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hodu La'Adonai Ki Tov, Ki Olam Hasto. The praise must go to God, not to take away from the Hakarat HaTov that everybody else deserves, but ultimately, Ki Tehillati Ata. And the Haftarah follows the Parasha, because if you remember in the Parasha, after all the curses, you know, God doesn't like to end off on a curse. So what does God say? Ve'af kamzot beyotam be'eris oybehem lo me'astim ve'lo ge'altim nechalotam ve'zachati berit rishonim asher otzeti otam. So God ends the kelelot by saying, don't worry, but I'm not going to destroy you. I'm going to remember the zechut of the avot. And that's how the prophet ends the Haftarah also. First he says, the Rishayim will trust in themselves. Aru, they're going to go to Geinam. And God says, my anger is never going to wane and it's going to be forever. But at the end, the prophet says, okay, those that put their faith in God, God will not leave them. Kisei kavod marom mirishon, mikvei Yisrael Hashem, those people that put their faith in God. And then he ends off with a fa'eni Hashem. Rabotai, I would just conclude with one chidush that I heard once from Klausenberger Rebbe. Klausenberger Rebbe, I was once in the office of a Chamsiyon Levi. Chamsiyon was the chief rabbi in Panama. Klausenberger Rebbe was sitting there, and they were talking Divrei Torah. Klausenberger Rebbe said to Chamsiyon, Alav Shalom, he says, Rabbi, you know you have an etrog. Everybody's always looking for the perfect etrog. You know, everybody goes and they shop around. They want an etrog without any blemishes. So the Klausenberger Rebbe said, why does everybody have a yearning to get the perfect etrog? So he said something beautiful. He said, there's certain things in life that they're only worth something if they're perfect. And if it's not perfect, and it loses its value. He gives an example. Take the concept of teshuvah. Teshuvah is repentance. Well, imagine a person comes along and says, God, I'm asking for forgiveness for 99% of my sins. What about the 1%? No, the 1% I don't regret. That's why we come along and say, V'hazirenu b'tshuvah shelema. Teshuvah has to be shelema. Teshuvah only works if it's 100%. You can't repent on 99% of the avirot and say, well, that other one, I don't care. Teshuvah works when it's shelema. Something else works when it's shelema. And that's when we pray to God for a redemption. We want God to redeem us. Now, we don't want it to be a partial redemption. We want it to be a full redemption. Imagine God will say, I'll redeem you for 2 weeks and you go back to Galut. That's not a redemption. So we say, Umaher lega'olenu ge'ula shelema. We want the ge'ula to be complete. What else, Rabotai? Emunah. Ani ma'amin. Can a person say, Ani ma'amin ba'kadosh baruch hu, 99%. 99%? Ya pikoros. That's why we say, Ani ma'amin be'emunah shelema. If it's not shelema, it don't work. And the last thing that we always need to be shelema is refuah shelema. Imagine a person goes to his friend and says, I bless you, shehev refuah, 50%. 50%? 50%? Why, 50% I should be in pain? Even if a person, let's say 99% he feels good, but one part of his body doesn't feel good, his whole body doesn't feel good. And that's what we pray, refuah shelema. Those four items only work if they're shelema. And that's why everybody wants to get the perfect etrog, because etrog is rashi tevot, alif, taf, resh, gimal. Emunah shelema, teshuvah shelema, refuah shelema, geulah shelema. The etrog represents the four items that have to be shalem. And therefore, I bless our members that be'azat Hashem, this pasuk will come true to us, to Am Yisrael, here, and all over the world. It should be a good sign. When we finish these haftarot, we say, Tichle shana v'kelelotea. Let the curses of this parasha be behind us. Mikan ul'habal l'hoshbanat tava, refa'enu Adonai v'nerafe, ושיענו ונתבשעה, ותהלתנו עתה, ברוך הבא לעולם, אמן ואמן.
אמן ואמן, ביורו, חזק וברוך,
thank you.
Wow, that was great.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Shalom, Rabbi.
Okay, let's take attendance. Let's take attendance. Shabbat shalom, Rav Shimon. Shabbat shalom, Doctor. Shabbat Shalom, Tomer. Shabbat Shalom, Ezra, Charlie. Nat Man is there. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom to Nat. Nice sunset in the background there. Shabbat Shalom, Aiki. Shabbat Shalom, Johnny. Joe Saad, Mabruk to you, honey. Mara Shrem is in the Zoom. Baruch Hashem. Simon is here. Baruch Hashem, it's good to see all the members. Shalom is here. Okay, and all the ladies section as well. Gary Ghani. Baruch Hashem. All right. All the best, Rabotai. Izzy, Shabbat Shalom. Rabotai, schedule. Schedule going forward, Sunday morning, Daf. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, Daf. And then we'll continue. Shabbat Shalom.